Our lesson today is based on the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Acts. It is Peter and John being in prison, and also two deceivers meeting a terrible death. Last week I left off where Peter was preaching unto these people about Jesus Christ, that it was in and through the name of Christ that this impotent man had been made whole, and that these people, the rulers and the people of Israel, had denied the Holy One and had desired a murderer and had crucified the Lord of life and glory. This person whom Peter exalted was the one by whom this man had been made whole. And I was speaking to you about the glorious titles that the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of Peter, gave unto Jesus Christ. He called him the Holy One and the Just One, and how that these people had denied him and had desired a murderer instead of Christ and had crucified him. Peter is directing them to their sin and to their iniquity, which had taken place before Pilate, how that they had desired a Barabbas instead of Jesus, and how that they had cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," and the voices of the chief priests and of the people prevailed, where Pilate had desired to release Christ. These things these people really knew had taken place, and therefore the Spirit of God brought home to them their sin and their iniquity. Oh, my hearers, we are not any different than these Jewish people, for we also choose murderers. They choose Barabbas, but we choose sin. We choose the world. We choose the flesh. We choose Satan, and this choice of ours proves to us that we also desire murderers, for they eventually will murder our soul. How guilty are we likewise when we make choice of these things instead of making choice of the one name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. Oh, my hearers, may God bring it home to you and me how guilty we are in the sight of God, that our sins crucified the Lord of glory, that we hung him upon the accursed tree with our sins. Oh, this Prince of Life, whom Peter was exalting, he had been crucified and died, but he also had been raised again by the glory of the Father. And that in and through him sitting at the right hand of God, this impotent man had become sound and whole in their very presence. They could not kill this Prince of Life, for he is the giver of natural life, of spiritual life, and of eternal life. And he was exalted to heaven above, and from there he had bestowed this blessing upon this impotent man. Peter goes on in his discourse, pointing out to them that they were the children of the prophets, and that what had been taking place with Christ was prophesied by the prophets, and that all had been fulfilled, and that God in mercy had sent unto them Jesus Christ first, that they may find remission for their sins. Peter, exalting this precious Christ, begins to preach repentance and conversion. He says unto them, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Repentance, my hearers, is a change of mind wrought by the divine influence, and it leads a person away from sin and Satan unto God with his whole heart. It is also accompanied with godly sorrow, and eventually leads to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Conversion is a change of state, It may take place outwardly. There may be a great reformation. This is to be seen in our outward life. It may also take place doctrinally. We may change from one church to another, from one form of religion to another. But there is also a saving conversion which is wrought by the Spirit of God in the hearts of sinners. They are created anew, and they are given to return unto God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength. And this is regeneration, and this is according to the Spirit's operation by the power thereof. There also is a conversion, as Peter experienced after falling so foully and denying his Lord and Master, he was restored again. Oh, how necessary then, my hearers, that we likewise be given repentance and conversion, that our sins may be blotted out. May I, as a feeble instrument, preach unto you as Peter did, who spoke unto these people and said, "Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." What did he mean by this? That they could repent themselves? That they could convert themselves? No, my hearers. He meant by that they should not go on any longer in their sins. Turn ye away from your sins. Repent ye, and that ye may be converted, that ye may receive a new heart and a new life. He then exalted repentance and conversion. And these two things, my hearers, are very necessary for each and every one of us, shall it be well with us for that great eternity. Oh, I would entreat you, my hearers, in all love to your immortal souls, go not on in sin. Turn ye, lift up your hearts unto Christ on high, that he may bestow repentance and give you conversion, that you also may receive the forgiveness of your sins. For this precious Jesus whom Peter exalted, he is coming, my hearers. Peter, 2,000 years ago, spoke unto these people that the heavens must receive Jesus unto the restitution of all things, and then he will come again. And my hearers, he is coming. Oh, believe me, the signs are all pointing that way, that Jesus is coming. We are living in sad times, where the love of many is waxed cold, where few, hardly any, are being converted under the ministry of the word. And my hearers, God is giving men who wisdom and understanding not to convert sinners, but to destroy themselves. And we know not the hour or the moment that Jesus may come. Oh, prepare to meet your God, my hearers. Oh, may you be given to repent. May you experience a godly sorrow on account of your sins. And may you be given a change of state, a conversion wrought by the Spirit of God in your immortal souls. These men, speaking unto these people then, began to teach that Jesus Christ had been exalted to the right hand of the Father. They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my hearers, there was a sect amongst these Jews called the Sadducees. These people, they had their name from their founder, a man by the name of Zadok. 263 years before Christ came into this world, this sect was founded. And their doctrines were mostly that they did not believe in a resurrection. They did not believe in an angel or a spirit. They did not believe that the soul had a hereafter, but that the soul perished with the body. These people, they adhered to the five books of Moses, and they were in the temple listening to Peter and John. And many of the rulers and the priests, they likewise were listening to these men, and they became grieved at the preaching of Peter and John. So grieved, they became so angry that their anger gave vent that they laid hold upon them, and they cast them into a hole, into prison, because it was eventide. Oh, my hearers, even to this day, those that may be faithful expositors of the Word of God find people under their hearings that are grieved, that are angry, and if the laws of the country permitted, they would take them likewise and cast them into prison. But where the laws prohibit these things in our land, they defame their character, they blaspheme their name, and make them for all kinds of dupes. Oh, my hearers, these creatures then placed John and Peter in a hole. In the eastern countries, these tyrants, they placed their men in caves in the ground. They dug trenches and made narrow holes in the ground, and they placed the prisoners therein, and they were at the mercy of these tyrants. The Romans had a singular way of keeping prisoners. They usually fastened a chain around the right hand of the prisoner and around the left hand of a soldier, and he was bound to this soldier as long as he was in prison. We have this with Paul when he stood before Agrippa, before Bernice, when he gave his apology unto them. He begged and entreated the people to listen to him, and that they would all be like he was, except those bonds. Peter and John then were in a hole. Whether they were in a hole in the ground or not, I could not say, but they were in prison overnight. And now, my hearers, this was the reward that these disciples of Jesus received for the good deed that they had done. They were cast into prison. Jesus had taught them while he was here on earth that they have persecuted me, and they shall persecute you. And they have hated me, and they shall hate you. And ye shall be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And the very next day they were brought before these rulers, before the elders of the people, before these Sadducees, before the council of the high priest and all his kindred, and they had to give account of why and through whose name they had performed this wonder. This, what Christ had told them, was fulfilled in this particular incident. And he had said unto them that they should not meditate, they should not worry about what they had to speak about when they were brought before kings, but that he would give them a mouth and wisdom that all their enemies could not gainsay. Oh, how blessed was Jesus unto his disciples when they were brought here before these rulers, and when they were questioned by whose name and whose power they had done this. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love that statement, my hearers. It wasn't Peter anymore, but it was God himself that took Peter and made him an instrument to speak unto these rulers and to these teachers and priests. And he commenced to speak unto them and said, if we be questioned about this wonder that we have done unto this impotent man, be it known unto you all, ye rulers and people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom God has raised from the dead, this man is standing before you whole. Oh, this is the stone that was rejected by ye builders. Oh, my hearers, this Peter and John spoke then very boldly about this precious Jesus. Oh, when the Spirit of God occupies any person, that person, he fears no man, he fears no individual. These two disciples, they had no fear concerning this council. Although they could have put them to death, they feared them not, but they spoke boldly about Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified, and who was now at the right hand of the Father. and who had performed this wonder. These men then, Peter and John, were given liberty and boldness to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. This spirit, my hearers, testifies of Jesus, into whoever it may enter, it will glorify Christ. And this we see in the teaching again of Peter. He glorified Jesus, and he spake to them about them crucifying the Lord of glory, and that this was the stone that was rejected by them builders. Oh, how cutting, how sharp is the word of God when it is in the Spirit's hand. How it convicted these rulers and these people of their sins, but also how that it points out to them that there is a way of escape in and through this very person whom they denied, whom they crucified. He was then the stone rejected by these builders. When Solomon builded the temple, there was a stone brought in that had been ordered by him. But as they examined the stone, the builders rejected it for some reason. But these people that rejected the stone were brought to seek God and ask him if they should discard this stone altogether. And God answered them by the mouth of a prophet that they should use this discarded stone as the cornerstone, and that it would be the chief stone of the temple. The Easterners, they think greatly of cornerstones. They think that the stone that is in the corner of a temple is holy, is sanctified. And they did not understand for what reason that God did this. But now we know, because Peter says, this was the stone rejected by ye builders. These Jewish people had done with Christ just as these builders had done with that stone. And God had made him the cornerstone. He was the foundation of his church. And my hearers, these Jewish rulers and these priests, they likewise began to examine Peter and John, and where they could not find any reason why they should punish them, they set them aside, and they held a council themselves and began to speak with each other that there was a notable wonder done, a miracle they could not deny. For all the people knew this man who this miracle had been done to, and therefore they decided to tell them that they should not speak or teach any more in the name of Jesus Christ. And they called them back into the council and spake unto them, threatening them that they should not teach nor preach in this name any more. And we find, my hearers, that Peter again speaks unto these people and says, judge ye what we should do, whether we should obey God or you, for we cannot but speak the things that we have heard and seen. Oh, my hearers, again we have Peter coming out, speaking boldly, even to this council, that they were to obey God more than they were to obey man. How many, my hearers, have been put in a position where they were unable to obey God and did not. They took the scriptures and used them for their own destruction. How many in times past have been called upon to labor upon the Sabbath day? God has given us a commandment that thou shalt not work. And many an individual church members, and even those that say they are Christians, they likewise have quoted scripture that we are under the powers and subject to them, and we must obey them. We have here two poor, ignorant fishermen who would not obey this counsel of the powers that were over them, but said, judge ye whether we should obey God or you. And where they could not punish them, they left these men go. And these men, they left this council and returned to their own company. All my hearers, these two men, John and Peter, they stood up for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And when they returned to their own company, that is the church at that particular time, the church that God was founding and which he was building up, and we read that there were 5,000 people that had been given to believe the statements that Peter had made concerning Christ. Believers were added to the church, and now they came to their company, and they related unto them what these rulers and what these priests and Sadducees had threatened them with. And we find that this company raised up their voice with one accord unto God. Oh, they were united together in faith. They were united together in love. They were united together in prayer and supplication. And the Spirit of God descended upon this company, and they with one accord lifted up their voice unto God and said, Lord, thou art God. By the mouth of David thy prophet thou hast said, wherefore do the heathens rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings and the rulers of the earth have stood up against thy holy child Jesus. And true, Lord, even Pontius Pilate and this council have stood up likewise against this precious Jesus. They have done what thy hand hath determined should be done. And now, Lord, give unto thy servants boldness, that they may speak thy word boldly, and stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. This was the contents of their prayer by hearers. They were united together. They did not fear. They did not run away from this council of men. But they united together to look up unto God. And they prayed together as in one voice. And my hearers, when I was studying this, I thought, what a wonderful thing it is when the Spirit of God unites a group of people together, that they unitedly may cry unto God. Oh, how seldom do we find that in these our dark days. Oh, how seldom does the Spirit unite us individually as a church at the throne of grace, that Jesus' name might be glorified, that signs and wonders may be done amongst us. Oh, there was more of this unity. There was more of this uniting together in one voice unto God. And then truly there would be signs and wonders done amongst us. There would conversions take place, and Jesus would be glorified. He would be the object of our affections, the object of our conversations. We would want to exalt him and extol him. See, my hearers, how far that the Spirit of God has departed from us. In this first primitive church, there was unity, there was love. Oh, they were united together. The troubles of these two servants was their troubles, and they brought it unto God. Oh, could we, as a congregation, experience more of this unity and of this pouring out of the Spirit, that we together unitedly may cry unto God that he would again visit his church, that he would pour out his Spirit upon us and upon our seed, and that we may see wonders being done. Oh, how blessed it would be if that would take place again. This is what we pray for. This is what we long for. This may take place again, my hearers.
before the end of time. There may be a great ingathering again. Jesus may come again and pour out his Spirit upon us. May it be in our time. May we realize something of it. Oh, what a change would take place in this congregation. Oh, what unity and what love there would be amongst each other. We see that in this group of people. Oh, they were united together. And as they prayed, what happened? Did God hear? Did God answer? Most assuredly, my hearers. For there was a great shaking. And the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And my hearers, on the day of Pentecost, and there was a noise of a great wind, and it descended in their gathering. And the Holy Spirit came down upon each and every one of them. And we may believe again that this was the same wind. It was either this wind or an earthquake that came upon this group of people, and they were shaken. The whole place where they were gathered was shaken. God gave witness to their prayer and answer to it. And every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in all boldness about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, my hearers, they had a direct answer. It wasn't very long before God came down and witnessed amongst them. Oh, how earnestly have I entreated him as one of his meanest subjects, that he likewise would fill me with his Holy Spirit, that I, with all boldness, may be given to set forth the truth as it is in Jesus. Without that Spirit, my hearers, it is just head work, it's just lip work. It does not edify, it does not reach anybody's heart. But by the Spirit, then alone can we expect that wonders will take place. And then God comes down and makes his residence in the hearts of creatures. He occupied the hearts of all these people. It was not them people anymore, but it was God in them. Oh, what a mercy to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, to be an instrument in the hands of God to set forth the glorious truth, Jesus Christ and him raised from the dead. This these apostles gave great witness to. With mighty power they gave witness unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, what sentences these are, my hearers. If you have any desire for the salvation of immortal souls, and then you read in these lines what God did and how you wished that God would do it again, how he would descend again with his Spirit, how that every one of you would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and how that great grace may be upon each and every one of us. Oh, I long for that time, my hearers. I don't know if there's anybody else in my midst that longs for that. Oh, I've been longing day and night at times for something like this to take place. Oh, if this should ever take place, my hearers. Oh, what love and what unity there would be amongst each other. We see that in this group of people. For they were so loose of this world, so loose of the things thereof. Oh, they had no concern anymore about what they were going to eat and what they were going to drink and where they were going to go and how much land they should own and what kind of a house they should build. They had no concern at all about this world anymore. And they were so filled with the Holy Ghost that it was Jesus and Jesus only that they wanted to hear about, that they wanted to speak about, that they wanted to glorify. And this is what they came together for. And they were so loose, we read, of this world, that those that had lands, that had houses, they sold them. And they brought the money to the apostles' feet. They placed it at the feet of the apostle for distribution. And they all were in one line. And they all had things common, and not one of them had need of anything. Oh, my hearers, this proves to us when the Spirit of God comes down into the hearts of people, then this world has no more value for them. All Christ has taught, love not the world, nor the things thereof. And when this takes place, And then the love of the world goes out of the heart, and the love of Jesus enters in. Oh, what a blessing that would be for every one of us if that should take place. Oh, that God would arise again over his church, that God would again pour out his blessed Spirit as he did upon this group of people. Oh, may we all be given to pray that God would again do this, that he would visit us and our children, and that he would take hold of us and dwell in us and use us to his honor, to his glory. These people gathered together in this way, they were a wonderful people, my hearers. I don't think we can find a people like that on earth at the present time. Oh, they were so united together. And my hearers, these people, they had many things given unto them, and they distributed these things to those that had need of them. A distribution was made, and not that one got more than another, but partially they distributed the things evenly. Whenever any person had need, they just came to the apostles, and the apostles seen that they were in need and supplied them. Oh, there was so much trust with each other. They didn't need anything. All they needed was that somebody would take care of all these funds that were being brought in. And now there was a man by the name of Joseph. They surnamed him Barnabas. He came from a country called Cyprus. He did not even live in the territory of Jerusalem. He lived very far from there. And he had lands and possessions. And he was so wrought upon by the Spirit. Oh, he was made so loose of this world. He cared not any more about his lands or about his houses. He sold them all. And he brought all the money to the feet of the apostle. Oh, this man Barnabas, he's called the son of consolation. And he was used by God very much to console and to comfort the souls of the disciples. And this man likewise, he after this became a man that went with Paul. He likewise traveled with him. And this Barnabas then was made loose of this world. Oh, that we all were made loose of it, my hearers, that we all may become a Barnabas. And then we find that many done the same thing, because this was spoken about so greatly amongst the people, what this man Barnabas had done. He received a name thereby. And a fame went out concerning the deed that he had done. And now we read of two people by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They heard what this man, Joseph or Barnabas, had done. And they likewise consulted together. They were creatures who likewise made a profession of Christianity, but it was not in their heart. They wanted to make a name and they wanted to get fame for themselves. And they likewise had a piece of ground. And they spoke with each other to sell it and to bring the money to the apostles' feet. And then their name would be great. That would spread around and they would be honored by many people. And they did this, these two people. They consented, and they went and sold this piece of ground. And when they received the money, they looked at this money, and they said to each other, shall we give it all? Let's hold back part of it. Why should we give it all to the apostles? They won't know the difference anyway. They don't need all this money. Let's keep part of it back for ourselves, and we'll give the rest to them. They consented together in this matter. They both were privy to it. And my hearers, this man Ananias, he took the part of the money and he went to where the apostles was gathered to make a big show for himself and to get a name for himself. and he brought the money to the feet of the apostle. All my hearers, Peter stood there looking at that man. The Holy Ghost had inspired Peter and had given him to know what had taken place in this man's home. Peter looked right through that man, and he spoke unto that man and said, "Is this the price that you received for the land that you sold?" "Yes," the man says. And then Peter spake unto him in the name of God and said, "Has Satan filled your heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost?" All this man, he was deceiving the apostles, but also he was making a great lie in the front of God. And Peter spake unto him, and as he spake unto him, this man fell over and died. God witnessed in justice and in righteousness with the act that this man done, because he brought part of the money, meaning to become someone thereby. He then made a lie in the front of the apostles, and he lied directly to God the Holy Ghost. And when he done this, he was stricken dead. What happened to his wife? Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue this lesson. That's all for today. My time is gone.